This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48, Wednesday, the 21st of September. And of course, you're listening to The Morning Run with Freka and Mayhem. Freka being Philip C and I'm Mayhem. Yes. Wong Xiao Ning, clearly Mayhem.
Of course.
Of course. But on Monday, interestingly, our Prime Minister, Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri, launched the latest version of the National Energy Policy 2022 to 2040, which lays out Malaysia's roadmap to transform into a low-carbon nation over the next 20 years. Now, this policy is seen as a catalyst for annual GDP growth of 13 billion ringgit and will also help to create over 200,000 job opportunities by 2040.
Now, there's a lot to unpack in this policy, which we'll do so in the coming weeks. But today, we're going to look at a specific target in transport and mobility, namely the aim to boost EV or electric vehicle usage to 38% by 2040. Despite taking steps to introduce hybrid electric vehicles over a decade ago in 2009, EV take-up remains low due to prohibitive costs and the slow rollout of charging infrastructure.
Now, the pace of both has picked up in recent years. But will the national energy policy create the push needed to accelerate this trend? And will it also encourage more manufacturing investment into the Malaysian EV sector? Joining us for reactions to this plan, we have on the line with us Cheryl Halmi. He's the president of the Malaysian Electric Vehicles Owners Club, or MyEVOC. Good morning, Cheryl. Now, what are your overall impressions of the national energy policy? Does it provide a viable blueprint for Malaysia's energy transition?
Good morning. My overall impression is that the team, whoever that came up with this policy, did a very good job in highlighting how fragmented our energy sector is in Malaysia. There are so many different ministries involved. There are many different levels of regulators, and they highlighted this quite well in the document and also pointed the way forward, which is to have a National Energy Council that's chaired by the PM himself to help move the policy forward. However, I think that there's a lot more work that needs to be done to flesh out the details and the targets and the milestones before 2040.
Now, let's focus on the targets. 38% of electric vehicles used by 2040. How far away are we from this goal?
We are very far away. Firstly, though, we need to define what that 38%. What is it out of? Is it 38% of total vehicle sales, or is it 38% of vehicles on the road? Right now, in Malaysia, the TIV, the annual TIV, is about 500,000 to 600,000. And in order for us to reach 38% in 18 years, that means a compounded annual growth of something like 30%+. And if we have the denominator be the number of vehicles on the road, which is 23 million, that number grows even crazier.
So I want to look at it from a retail and consumer standpoint. I mean, what are the main obstacles to promoting greater EV use in Malaysia then?
The common answer that we get is actually, of course, the EVs are too expensive for the common people in Malaysia. However, I think that there is a very close link to the charging infrastructure question. Why do I say that? It's because bigger battery EVs that have longer range are more expensive, obviously. The cheaper ones are ones with the smaller batteries. But the smaller batteries would require a dense charging infrastructure. And so these two are interlinked very, very closely. And at this point in time, the technology is maturing. Remember the times of the plasma TV, the flat screen TV, they were very expensive before the manufacturing scale kicked in. We must focus first on the charging infrastructure so that the small battery EVs, the ones that can travel 200, 250 kilometers, become very viable in Malaysia. Unfortunately, today on the highways, as of September 22nd, which is last week, this week actually, I did a cursory view of all the fast charging infrastructure along the highways. And guess what? Only 10 BEVs can charge at the same time along Malaysia's highways. That's about one petrol station's worth.
But Cheryl, you know, when you talk about charging infrastructure, you can talk about charging it at home, charging it at shopping malls or these huge commercial locations or at the highway, right? Most charging infrastructure should be done closer to home or at the, you know, shopping malls and such, no?
Correct. Most of the charging will be done at home. However, there's the psychological impediment from people moving from combustion engines because they are so used to the paradigm of fueling up at the petrol station. Because the first thing they ask, and I think this one BFM did a Twitter survey last year. I think I was on the radio, and the first 38%, the majority of the people who are concerned about going to EVs are concerned about charging infrastructure. I'll share with you an anecdote by the CEO of one of the biggest charging operators in the US. He was saying that, you know, I put chargers up everywhere, but they're not getting used. I wish I can put up fake ones because people want to see they're there while not really intending to use them.
Okay. But then I want to go back to the cost of the EVs, right? Because that's a critical thing. And how do we then make it available for the common people?
Right, right. Well, if you look at the car market in Malaysia today, about 60 to 70% is dominated by Proton and Perodua. And if you cut that down to the sub 100,000 ringgit segment, pretty much all of it are dominated by Proton and Perodua. The question is actually whether Proton and Perodua are able to bring in products that are priced reasonably under the 100,000 range and make it viable. And that comes back to, of course, the charging infrastructure. You put too big of a batteries in there, which comprise 50% of the car's cost, it makes it expensive. But if you can manage with smaller battery EVs that can go maybe 200 kilometers, but you have a very dense charging infrastructure so people are not afraid of balik kampung or being stuck in a jam. They know they can go anywhere and be able to plug in anywhere.
But the reality, though, to hit 38%, you have to put the economics of the operating costs being lower, which means we do need to remove fuel subsidies here, isn't it, to basically enable and force people to transition to EVs. That is the hard decision the government must make, isn't it, to remove fuel subsidies so that we can move to EVs.
Yes, that is also a very, I guess, thorny issue. We've seen recently in Indonesia when the government there had to, they were forced to actually reduce subsidies, fuel subsidies, and that resulted in some public unrest. You have situations in the Middle East where public unrest also resulted in cutting fuel subsidies. So, well, the answer is actually that eventually it must be cut, it must be targeted. Ideally, of course, it will be done at a time when the economy is kind of not in an inflationary spiral, such as what we are seeing globally today. And also, ideally, it will be done when the fuel costs of petrol or oil is lower.
Okay. And so let's talk about policy. Do you see any other policy contradictions, actually, to encourage EV adoption?
It's very tough. In Malaysia today is especially for EV adoption because number one, we have fuel subsidies, right?
Yeah.
So that makes the gap, even though there is a gap operating an EV in Malaysia with our current pricing for petrol, RON 95, as well as home domestic tariff is about 30 to 40% cheaper. The gap is not big enough to justify the initial big investment in an EV. So that's one thing that's actually contradicting. The other one, of course, is the fact that we do not control for emissions from the transportation sector. We do not report anything in terms of how many tons of CO2 equivalent is emitted by the transportation sector in Malaysia annually. We don't do that in a timely basis. Similarly, we do not report on a timely basis what is our grid's carbon intensity, where then people can make informed decisions as to which one is better for the environment, which one is better for the pocket.
And so, you know, Shara, I want to unpack the two issues we have. There's a lot of talk about EV manufacturing in Malaysia. That's not to drive consumption, right? That's about discussing whether or not Malaysia is an EV manufacturing hub and whether it has the potential to do so. Do you think it does have the potential to be an EV manufacturing hub, though?
We have a very mature, I think, automotive ecosystem in Malaysia. We are competing very, very hard against Thailand. But Thailand has made the move ahead of us a number of years. I think in 2019, they formed the steering committee that's chaired by the Deputy PM that solely focused on looking at making them the EV manufacturing hub, not only for ASEAN, but also for the world in terms of right-hand drive markets. So they were ahead in terms of a very focused and concerted effort driven from the very top levels of government. And that's something I think that we need to pick up very quickly in order for us to catch up. We also need to look after what part of the ecosystem can we do well in. For example, Indonesia is focusing more on battery manufacturing because they have a lot of raw materials there, nickel mostly. We don't. So what can we do? Perhaps it'll be software development because EVs are a lot of software and there's a lot of value add that can be created there.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Shaul Hami, president of the Malaysian EV Association. Malaysian Electric Vehicles Owners Club, telling us that there are lots of policy contradictions actually within our many, many, many government policies.
I mean, policy contradictions aside, I think even hitting that 38% target doesn't sound realistic also, if you look at how we kind of do the replacement of our vehicles and such, right? So let's not even talk about the fact that we haven't aligned our ducks together with respect to policy.
Yeah.
It sounds like even the way we do our merchant acquisition of vehicles will not likely get us to 38% unless we have the different metrics then.
Well, I mean, the first thing is we have this overarching ambition to be carbon neutral by 2050, right? Mm. That should be our guiding principle. And then after that, all the policies that follow through should be working towards that. But like you rightly point out, Philip, during the conversation, is that the one thing that stands in our way is the current subsidies that we have on fossil fuels, right? Mm. So we are actually in some way encouraging Malaysians to still go and drive their ICE vehicles, pump petrol at 2 ringgit and 5 cents. In the home, we are still subsidising. Tenaga is still, well, the government is subsidising Tenaga, who then offers us electricity at subsidised prices. So we are still switching on lights more than we should.
Yep.
We're not being so considerate. Our water prices are too low. All that's part of the whole environmental considerations that we need to think about, but we don't want to remove it. And until we do, I don't know, EVs, that's just another part of it, isn't it?
It's another part of it. But it was a very interesting point Cheryl talked about with respect to the perception, right, about e-charging infrastructure, that perhaps you don't need that many actually along the highways, but the presence of it actually helps, creates and removes that mindset issue.
We are so kiasu, right?
We're so kiasu.
We don't like the idea we're driving along North-South Highway, three quarters on the way to Ipoh to eat our Ipoh kuih tiao. Suddenly we're stuck. Where are we supposed to charge our cars? I think that is in people's minds.
You need to go to Ipoh for a good kuih tiao, you know, just to tell you.
Never mind. I'm just going to ignore you. But up next, we've got the KLCI opening as well as market commentary with Brian Arcis of Ford Asset Management. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.